This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
And this is Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Cota, Texas.
And on this week's Skirted Roundtable, we are honored to welcome Margaret Russell, Editor-in-Chief of Elle Decor Magazine, to the Skirted Roundtable. Margaret, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
We are going to be talking today about, obviously, Elle Decor Magazine and your new book, Style and Substance, which we've all been drooling over and picking out our favorite rooms. And one of the things we're going to talk about are three of your favorite rooms, which we're excited about. But first, we wanted to ask you to tell us a little bit about your background for any listeners who may be not that familiar. We know you've been at Elle Decor for its entire history. And, you know, how did you get to Elle Decor and working your way up through the ranks?
It is sort of funny to be at one place for so long. You know, it's been 20 years. But, you know, I was definitely in the right place at the right time when they were starting the magazine. And I went to Brown and wanted to be a diplomat and was taking international relations and political science. And my father passed away my freshman year, and I realized that I didn't want to spend my junior year abroad. And so I switched my major to basically being pre-law. So history, poli-sci, American studies. And it was just great, you know, a terrific liberal arts education that did not land me in law school, because senior year I realized I was going for the wrong reasons because my father had been an attorney. So now my brother is the lawyer in the family. And I moved to New York, and I really wanted to be in a more creative position. And I started as an editorial assistant at Glamour magazine when a marvelous editor named Ruth Whitney was there, and so many other people in creative fields and at other magazines were, you know, sort of got launched under Ruth's guidance. And I was there, and then I did a variety of different things, and I got married and moved away. And when I my marriage fell apart, and when I moved back to New York, they were just starting Elle Decor, and I'd always kept my hand in writing and styling and doing things that were creative. So I had a book, and I was, I think, the like 30th person that Barbara Dixon interviewed. And you know, she just said, I don't know, in my gut, I just think you're the right person. So it truly was more of a kismet type of thing than anything else. And I've just been so happy and so honored to be able to work on this magazine, to help create it and now to sort of help guide it through what is certainly a somewhat rocky time for the magazine world.
When you were first hired, what exactly were you doing? Kind of a little bit of everything, or...
You know, I think that's how you get ahead. You really have to do a little bit of everything. I forget what my original title was. By the time I was hired in April, the magazine came out in that fall, and I'd been promoted to senior editor, and they had doubled my salary. So I think when I started, I was really doing a lot of grunt work and styling and doing shoots and a little bit of writing, filing, proofreading. You know, I think that in order to be successful these days, you can't expect that things are just going to be handed to you. And I've always loved work. You know, I've always been interested in different things. And so when a story would come up, I'd say, oh, I could do that. And that's how I got ahead. I was fortunate to work with some incredibly creative people, including Regis Penez, who had launched Elle here in the States. And it's been, you know, sort of an interesting ride.
I think we were all surprised that it had been 20 years, you know. It seems like a new magazine. And then, but when you see the body of work, it's not. I mean, it's 20 years is a long time to put out. So I think that was kind of surprising to a lot of people on the blogs. They were talking about it.
It didn't seem that old.
No,
it's funny because we're a baby.
Like a magazine.
You know, we're a baby compared to, you know, House Beautiful and House and Garden, which I miss very much, and an Architectural Digest. But 20 years, you know, sometimes it seems like it's been 100 years, and other times it seems like it's been about three. So it has passed rather quickly. But going back through the 20 years of issues, it was a fascinating experience. And I basically put all the magazines on the floor of my office, and I would go through every night and on Sundays and just flag things and then edit down and edit down and edit down. But it was fun to revisit a lot of things. There were some things that I can't believe we put in the magazine. And then there are other things that I just loved. Like, we had done this marvelous Q&A with Albert Hadley in, I think, 94. And I would love to do more things like that. So it reminded me of things that maybe we've moved away from that we should definitely revisit.
The consistency of that's what's so incredible, I think, about Elle Decor, and why it does, at the same time, not seem, you know, like it's been that long, because it's so fresh. It's so, it just has consistently always felt like such a new and fresh magazine. You know, everything
it
you
has
have,
an
like
edge.
You're saying.
It has
Is it
an edge?
Edge? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does have an edge without, you know, being edgy at all. But it definitely has that. It's,
well,
I mean, I'm always
good.
So excited when I get it. Yeah, when I get it in the mail, I've always been just so excited. It's my favorite thing to receive. So,
oh, gosh, that's such a nice thing to hear, because my staff, you know, I just have this tiny staff and they work so hard and they're really terrific. And, you know, every time we get good reader mail and or comments from when I go to parties or something, I always try to share them with them, because you really... they're wonderful, and some,
you know, it
we
just
do
never
strive for us to be fresh. So,
yeah, and it never disappoints. That's the other thing. I think by what I was saying, consistency. I feel that it never disappoints. It always has something new. It doesn't feel repetitive. It doesn't feel like a format that's just, you know, new things being placed in the same template at all. It always feels, you know, there's always going to be something interesting and stimulating in it.
It has kind of you know, like you get World of Interiors, and it kind of has a feel like an American World of Interiors to me. I always feel like if you like classic design, there will be a story in the issue that you will relate to. Or if you like something more, you know, avant-garde or modern contemporary, there will be something that you can relate to. You know, if you like something that they didn't especially spend a lot of money on, but it's a great design, there'll be something in the magazine. So it kind of, you know, it encompasses a lot of different design styles in one magazine with each issue, which I think is what keeps it so fresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you nailed it.
Well, that it actually gives us a lot of freedom, that we don't have to be pigeonholed into one, you know, one particular style, and that we're able to shoot all over the world. And that we, you know, we can try out different things. And so it's, you know, for someone who likes really traditional things, we're probably not the magazine for you, or for someone who's really, really mod all the time. But I love, you know, I love all different kinds of design, and I love being inspired by different types of rooms. So it's a lot more fun for us, I think, that we are able to have this range and to feature different kinds of apartments and houses every month.
Have you ever found, I don't know how many times you've moved over the course of the 20 years, but like most of us, probably a few times, you kind of get into this mode of I'm in the mod mode, and then you find it's either your home, your personal house decorating has been influenced by what you've been putting in the magazine for the last year, or vice versa. You've gotten into a certain style at your house, and all of a sudden you find the magazine is reflecting that.
It's, I probably have toned down the way I live a little bit more, just because it's so crazy in the office, and I do know a lot of, you know, people who work in creative fields who feel that way. You know, it's mayhem here sometimes, and I have an office with a ton of books and, you know, layouts and covers. And so when I go home, I really want it to be a little bit more peaceful. And although I have to move this year, and so I'm like so ready to move. I'm really excited about it, and I can't decide. You know, I'm looking at both sort of modern buildings and pre-war, and we'll see where I end up.
Now, have you ever hired a decorator, or would you hire a decorator, or just do it by yourself?
Oh gosh, I'd hire a decorator in a second, and I haven't in the past, except Vincent Wolf helped me with my office, because I made a dumb mistake about something and he rescued me. But I definitely, you know, I believe in calling in the experts, and especially with bathrooms and kitchens and windows, really. But in terms of furniture and fabrics and floor plans and things, I'm, you know, I think that I'm comfortable doing that myself. But I would most likely, moving to a new space, I definitely am going to call on all my friends in the design world to come and give me their opinion.
Well, I'm sure that you're enough like the rest of us decorators, where it's very hard to do it for ourselves sometimes, because we're so familiar with what's out there that it's hard to narrow down your own choices, because you know what's coming next. In a way.
Oh, I don't know. I'm really decisive. So that's, I have many, many faults, but indecisiveness is not one of them. And I also love finishing projects. So you know, I've decided that when I'm really finally ready to buy the apartment, that I, you know, I'm going to look at things for like 3 weeks, and then I'm going to make a decision, and then I'm going to be done. I'm not going to be one of those people who see, you know, 400 apartments and can't decide. And I hate living with things half done. So if I had to stay up till 4 a.m. to paint, you know, a bathroom or something, I would do it in a second.
Are you going to be painting bathrooms in your new apartment?
Oh gosh, I sure hope not. I hope that I'm going to get more help at this point. You know, sometimes you get, haven't you ever just gone on a whim, said, oh, I think I'm going to try that. And, you know, all
well,
of a sudden.
Well, Megan Arquette, yes. But I'm thinking Margaret Russell, no.
I'm currently working on a whole kitchen that I'm doing myself. So come on up if you feel like painting.
Oh, okay. If I'm angry, I'll give you a ring.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. If you have a free weekend.
Margaret, to change topics a little bit onto blogging, one of the biggest issues that we face as bloggers is, you know, copyright attribution to the proper photographer. And without the magazines, there would be no, there would be very few blogs.
I think. The image resource would be very small.
Yeah, so we're very dependent on the magazines, totally, actually. Are we allowed to use the images, or do you know the law, and are...
Well, I think
or how do you feel about it?
Yeah.
The law to me seems somewhat... I'm not sure there is really clear law about this in terms of blogging. I know that in terms of copyright, that we own, we have first rights ownership on our film, and then rights revert right now, and then rights revert to the photographer. But we retain rights for perpetuity for self-promotion. So if someone uses one of our pictures and mentions the photographer's name and El Decor, then there's no problem. You're supposed to ask for permission. Would I ever, you know, go sue a blogger? Of course not. But it does, to be honest, it does irk me when I see, you know, picture after picture from El Decor and just, you know, and other magazines, to be honest. And no mention of the photographer, certainly, and rarely of the magazine as well. Some people are terrific about doing it. Others, you know, just are not. And I do find it insulting to my photographers. And we work very hard. We invest a great deal in our photography. And so it's, we now watermark everything that's on the web. So if you take something from our website, it has the El Decor watermark on it. And as long as that's on there, you know, I'm fine with it.
Can I just say something in defense of bloggers? A lot of times it's not, I know, because I'm terrible about that. I'm one of those bloggers that's awful about it. But it's not
Joni,
intentional.
Joni, I've noticed that.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
But honestly, no. It's absolutely fine because I envy you for your records. I don't know how you keep your files, but you are truly amazing. So,
let me confess. There's two reasons. A lot of times you get the image from another blog, and there is no, mm-hmm. you don't know where it's from. The second reason, to be honest with you, is Google, because once you put a photographer's name or a magazine, we're always worried we're going to get sued, you know, so we think, oh, well, some of us think if you put the magazine, they're going to come after us because they'll get the Google record and they'll know what we're doing, and so a lot of bloggers do feel that way, but you know what, you're right, it isn't fair, and I don't think people do it. And it's not intentional, I will say that.
Yeah,
it's not.
I can't imagine that it would be, and that wasn't my implication. I think it's more that it's such a lovely, you know, gracious thing to give credit where it's due. And the way I feel about it is that bloggers are creating interest and excitement about the design world. And so, you know, from day one, I've been like, gosh, let them do it. You know, they're just getting more people involved in design and passionate about it. I am very protective of my photographers, though, and so I always like to see when, you know, when they do get credit, because they're artists, you know, they're terrific creative artists for us.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I think it was Karen.
My tail's between my legs right now.
Mirror story, and it's, I mean, gosh, it just, you just have so much information, and you know, you've got a series of books right there. you have a brilliant future doing design books. You have a lot at your fingertips. I imagine also sometimes you might rip something out and not mark down, you know, who the photographer was. Certainly on our pages, it doesn't say who the photographer is on every page. It's only on the, you know, the opener, the spread.
I rely heavily right now on El Decor. Another reason is because y'all are digital. And I have bought every digital copy of your magazine online.
You do, really? Okay.
I'm back to like 19. I mean, I am way back there. 19. I mean, maybe it's 92 or something. As soon as a new old issue comes online available, I'll buy it. And you know, I'm like so into the old, you know, El Decors right now because you're available digitally, which I love. And that was another question that we had. Do you ever see a time where your magazine will open up your PDFs or your gorgeous photographs to bloggers or not? Do you not see that happening or?
Well, you know, there's a lot that's on the website. And the website will get stronger and you know, bigger as time goes on. It's just hard to, I think that when magazines were starting to launch their own websites, we all thought, well, there's going to be a whole designated group of experts who are going to do this. And quite frankly, we're doing it all now. And, you know, magazine staffs have sort of shrunk along with the American economy. And so we just need a little bit of time, I think, to build it up more. But there is a lot online. My job is actually to monetize what we do, you know, to make to make profit for my company on what we produce. And so I'm not a fan of just getting everything out there absolutely for free. And also, to some degree, some homeowners really, you know, are restrictive about how we would use their pictures, and especially celebrities, and they don't want to be splashed all over. And I'm very protective of my photographers and my homeowners. You know, that is, they're our lifeblood. And it isn't like putting, you know, a model in a swimsuit in Elle online. We're shooting your children. We're shooting your closet. We're shooting your family pictures in your living room. You know, it's an intensely personal experience. So it's just a little bit more complicated for shelter magazines, I think. At best, we're trying to put up as much as we can online that's watermarked, so you actually don't have to say El Decor. You know, it's just very faintly in the corner of it. The same for Met Home, and you know, we'll see how it goes from there. Things are honestly just changing so rapidly. You know, we're now shooting almost all digital film, which is a huge change for us. You know, I've been a big fan of transparency film for my entire career. So, you know, the capabilities are different and it's a very precise medium. It's, we'll see what that brings to us too. I think that shooting digitally will allow, you know, more film to be up there.
So interesting. Everything is changing. It's crazy.
You know what? I just was talking to someone the other night at dinner and he, was pointing out the fact that Twitter now has become, well, a lot of these social media, just in the last few months though, Twitter has almost become like the new Google, you know, for the people, by the people. So people are starting to use it as a search engine, you know, looking to see who's talking about them and how they're being spoken
of. Oh, gosh. Wasn't that exhausting?
I mean, I haven't even gotten on the Twitter train yet, so I'm still sitting here.
Yeah, no. I'm really worried somebody at my company is going to make me do it. And I'm
that's what I was going to ask.
It's going to be gone before that happens. I did register my name and El Decor because someone had put up a fake website with my name. So I wanted to make sure that we were all registered and had it ready to go if I changed my mind.
It's so funny. Someone actually used you as an example once in a meeting with me, and they said, I mean, really, do you think Margaret Russell would ever Twitter?
Who cares what I'm doing? I'm not that, you know, I'm a middle child. I don't think anything I'm doing is that important. So, I just don't get it. And maybe I will, and maybe I'll change my mind. But right now I'm not Twittering or tweeting or
whatever it is.
But El Decor does have a Facebook page. So that
we do, finally.
Yeah. And you put up party pictures, which is fun.
We do, and we're sort of trying to figure out what people like. When we put John Mayer's place up and said, you know, we got all these great comments. You know, I think we're trying to figure out what people really like and you know, see what they're drawn to. What do you think people like on Facebook for a magazine?
Well, I tell you what they like. They like to complain. So if you've got a lot of comments, You know, they do. People like to leave nasty comments.
Right. Yeah, they do.
But I do think on Facebook, you know, I think that's the place to put the fun party pictures and the celebrity stuff.
People want to see people. They want to check it out, whether they know them or not. They want to see who the people are that are going to Eldercore party. You know, they want to be a part of it. They want to have a peek.
And, you know, especially if the party is at someone's house, if they're, you know, give you permission to put the pictures up, you know, that's just fun because it's photo shoots of things that, you know, isn't styled to perfection, which is interesting, you know, is even if it's, you know, someone famous, a famous designer's own home, which is probably going to be great anyway, it's still for a party. It's not going to be styled to perfection. And that's kind of neat to see.
I know that, you know, my fear was that we're putting up all these party pictures that it just looks like we do parties all the time. It's like, how does the magazine get out? They're having parties every week. But it's been a lot of fun, and I've learned a lot about it. And I don't really want to be on Facebook, but I'm thrilled that the magazine is. Yeah. So.
But you could hire a photographer to come follow y'all around at the office one day and
a day in the life.
Yeah. And shoot y'all working.
I'd love to show when we do Eldercore's guide to, you know, the two designers judging 10 pieces of furniture that we found, you know, sort of like the backstory on things like that, or how Anita Sarcidi styles a shoot, or, you know, I always like sort of, how does that get done?
I
think that's a great idea for Facebook. Behind the scenes of a photo shoot, you know, like pick one each month. I think people would love that. I would.
You know, I know that I was just, and I swear I'm not a big Twitter person. I'm trying to learn. That's why I'm bringing this up. I was on Twitter and someone sent me Kate Spade's, and they were installing a store in Tokyo. And they were having the opening party, and all day long, whoever it was who was being the Kate Spade Twitterer was shooting pictures with their iPhone of, you know, the installation, the artist painting the mural on the wall. Then it goes into the party, down to these cute little paper straws that they said, we brought these from America to make sure we had just the right straws. I mean, it went on and on. And it was interesting. And I think
now you're going to make me want to go on Twitter and all about that.
You can do TwitPic.
It was cute. It was the paper straws was, to me, I was like, wow, those are great.
It's not cute, Margaret. Don't worry.
They were cute. I saw that too.
But Twitter's not usually cute.
No, I'm just still trying to figure it all out. And that's why I was on it last week. Not necessary.
Okay, good. Because it's hard just keeping up with the design blogs and work. So right. I'm short on time.
And speaking of work, we wanted to talk about the new book, Style and Substance. And we asked, which is beautiful, but we had asked you, Margaret, if you could tell us three of your favorite rooms in the book. And so you did, and we're each going to take one of the pages. We each picked one that we liked of the three, and interestingly, two of them were ones we would have picked anyway.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. And these are just three of my favorites, because to be honest, it was so hard.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
You know, to narrow it down, and there's one picture that I really, really wish had made it in the book, and there was just a glitch in getting the film, and it was Massimo Giannulli's Bel Air living room that Michael Smith had done. And it was this great mix of like a cat and tot fabric and modern art. And I still, you know, it just bugs me that it's not in the book. So anyway.
Well, that's, you know, for the next book.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so Megan, do you want to start with?
With the Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick dining room. The Egyptian chandelier on page 98. I love that one. You know what I love about this? Joni was saying this. This is one of those instances where it's an achievable room, you know, for really, because it's a mix of chairs, of found chairs, and then they're very simply painted black with a beautiful cushion put on them, but they become these really pretty graphic silhouettes, and I'm drawn to something like that, and the picture itself really has a graphic quality to it. Everything's very simple, but each of these chairs has a silhouette that's just uniquely unto itself. And then hanging over it is that gorgeous blue glass Egyptian chandelier, which is, you know, sort of fanciful against this modern graphic design. And I love that one. It's young and fresh, like I was talking about with your magazine.
Mm-hmm. It is young and fresh, and I love that chandelier because it's like, you know, it's like earrings. It's like a piece of jewelry. Mm-hmm. over the table. And Sarah Jessica's house, the entire house was just delightful. And, you know, she worked with Eric Hughes on it. It is not, you know, it's not this huge fancy pants house. It's really lovely and appealing and doable. You know, mm-hmm. she invested in the pieces that you really should invest in, like a fabulous sofa. And, you know, this dining table is a custom made lacquer table. I'm sure it was not inexpensive, but the chairs are all sort of, you know, ragtag from flea markets and tag sales. And I thought it was so cool that Eric painted them in a matte black, you know, mm-hmm. I think in a really glossy black, which somebody else might've done, it would have had a totally different look. Mm-hmm. And they're mm-hmm. much more elegant in that almost chalky finish. We made this the cover of the October 2005 issue. And when we went back to shoot it for the cover, because we didn't quite have the right angle, and I decided it needed a rug for the cover, and we just put some more colorful flowers on the table. But it sold really well. And I think that the shot sort of resonated with people because it was very, very simple, but elegant and graphic.
Right. I remember that cover clearly. I mean, vividly. And it's interesting why, you know, what makes the cover so memorable?
Well, and I love, I think this is, even though the table was custom, I mean, this inspired me. I actually have a storage unit filled with, I'm not kidding you, 26 chairs, among other things. I don't know, chairs I can't get rid of. And I've got a bunch of mismatched ones. And when I first saw this, I thought, this is such a great idea. This is a great idea.
I did the same thing. I have an attic in Connecticut with a bunch of chairs. I love different chairs. And when I get it together, I will paint them too. I thought this was a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm. But when you actually look at the chairs, you think, oh, well, they just picked this up. But when you notice, each chair is really like, there's the Thonet chair, there's a Chippendale chair. You know, I mean, there's a ladder back.
Ladder back. Mm-hmm.
They're very iconic chairs. Each one of them are instantly,
recognizable.
Recognizable.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is like a great outfit. It's like a Chanel, like a really, like you're wearing some great classic pieces with some sort of bohemian earrings. Exactly right.
It's like, you know, white jeans and a black t-shirt and green earrings, turquoise earrings.
That's
exactly it. And I think as you were saying, Joni, the thing about this, or Megan, sorry, is that, you know, this could be done on a budget. You know, it could be done at the very high end, or like the jeans and the t-shirt and the beautiful pair of earrings. It could be Gap jeans and Gap t-shirt and Target earrings, you know, and this could be a bunch of mismatched chairs painted in a matte black and a white table painted in spray painted glossy white. Or it could be, you know, these very memorable chairs. So that's what's so great, I think, and accessible about this space. And it's happy.
It is happy. That whole house was happy. This was a vacation home of theirs. I mean, isn't this like their summer house or something?
It's in Bridgehampton. And the house was happy. I mean, it was a terrific place to be, and I was thrilled we were able to do it.
Joni and I fought over the Vincent Wolfe bedroom, and Joni won. but we also were kind of fighting over the Victoria Hagen space, because both Joni and I have spent a lot of time blogging on the set decorating for the movie Something's Gotta Give. And Margaret, when you and I talked a couple of years ago, I interviewed you for my blog, and I think it was the October 2007 issue had this on the cover. Am I right?
Actually, August, September 2002.
Huh.
The Victoria Hagen, the blue and white.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was it's the cover of the book, because that issue was our best-selling issue ever.
That's
in the history
right.
of the magazine. It sold 153,000 copies. And, you know, it touched something, and that's why I put it on the cover of the book, because that was, you know, that was the best of El Decor in terms of sales. But I love this room. I think mm-hmm. there's something so appealing about it. What do you think about it?
I love it. I love the snappiness, the striped rug in the really bright cobalt blue and white is just so, you know, fresh. And I think it's always fresh. I mean, this is from 2002, and it could have been 2009. Easily, and it could be 1992, and it makes a great cover with the print.
It's classic.
Yeah,
the classic summer.
And this is the room. I think you had told me that the Something's Got to Give set decorators, sort of the living room in that house, is very reminiscent of this. Clearly, the rug. and the very classic take on it, the big windows. It just seemed like the movie just sort of jumped off the page of this magazine spread, which was kind of fun to see.
There's actually been a lot written about it, and I can't remember, but I think maybe the sofas have been white in the movie. But I then had people, like publicists, send me pictures of designers who had done projects based on that, and I'm like, oh gosh, if you only knew that, you know, the original house was our cover. The decoration for that movie, I think, elicited such interest from people.
Probably.
It's just so elegant,
I think, and
approachable.
Yeah, I think probably for Joni and I have been able to tell, one of the most, if not the most popular movie for set decorating. And I think that's what speaks to this. It's all of a piece of fresh American decorating that's not overly fussy. It may be high end, but it doesn't have to be high end. And it's approachable. It's comfortable. I think that's what makes this room successful and probably made the magazine cover and therefore the magazine successful is... You know, you could get this look in a lot of different price points, and you also feel like you could walk around barefoot and put your feet up on the sofas.
On the business side of it, you said 92, this was your biggest ever?
2002, right?
2002, yeah, I'm sorry. Does that appeal to you as a goal to beat the cover for sales, or...
No, to be honest, because we're in a different, I believe that was when we were being published 8 times a year and our frequency was increased to 10 times a year. And when that happens, the magazine, each issue is on the newsstand a shorter period of time. So I'm not sure that would be a realistic goal to have right now. And also all magazines, you know, are experiencing decreases on the newsstand, just because of the economy. So no, it's more that it was just a really exciting thing. And you know, I'm happy that it did so well. I think we did look at it and try to figure out what was so appealing about it, or what is the secret. You know, editors are always searching for the secret of a good cover, because it's not a science. And somebody will say, oh, don't put people on, you know, it's a kiss of death, or dogs or pets are bad. And you know, we've had people who've done well and pets who've done well, and, you know, some issues that were real surprises where I thought it was a really, you know, not my favorite cover, and it's done well. So
yeah.
This was not a surprise, but it was a surprise that it did so, you know, exponentially well. But it's Victoria Hagen and just a really lovely design. I think we used maybe 3 different shots of that living room in the story. And that's rare. I mean, you don't usually get that many shots from sort of, it is a relatively simple room.
Mm-hmm.
It just had a good feeling.
Now, did you guys, as you were sort of analyzing what made this so special for a magazine cover, come up with any reasons why just simply this is a style and a look that would be so popular with so many people all around the world?
You know what, I think, to be honest, it's really hard to go wrong with blue and white. I think it's such a classic design motif. The main cover line, we had a cover line going across the Eldecor logo just saying cool, and then the biggest cover line was laid back decorating, and then down at the bottom it said All American Flair. And there wasn't anything tricky about it. The image that's in the book is a shot looking down. But the image on the cover of the book is the, you know, full-on, straightforward shot looking towards the fireplace. And, I think that for a summer issue, it just looked crisp and cool and yet really warm at the same time. And our covers do well when they're truly about decorating. You know, we don't do a lot of, like, little still life up-close things or artsy things. You know, this is just a really not a tricky room. It's just, it's a lovely room. And that, you know, I think that people would just found that appealing.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done another bright blue and white cover again, trying to recreate it at all or not?
No, you know what? It's, you go with what you have. And, you know, if I came across another room that didn't seem to be copying that, but that was in the feeling, you know, sure, we would do a cover try on it. But every month, you know, we don't choose a story for a particular issue knowing that it's going to be a good cover. I would have to be supremely organized in order to do that. And maybe we'll get to that point, but we really, you know, every issue we just go through and we do a series of different cover tries with a logo on it to see what would work and narrow it down. And usually one is clearly, you know, what we want to go with. So.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Yours, the one, was the Vincent, the gorgeous Vincent Wolf bedroom. Mm-hmm. On page 141. Mm-hmm. And was this the cover too?
It was December, January 1995.
Yeah. Well, God, that long ago, because I remember this so clearly. This was one of the prettiest bedrooms I thought I'd ever seen. And it's just gorgeous.
This is a bedroom that, and I told this to Vincent because I didn't know it was his. Speaking of people not paying attention to who the photographer is, I had cut out this picture from the, it must have been from the magazine, and I didn't make note of where I got it from, but I used it in a decorating class I was teaching and had it on a board, and I just always loved it. And then all of a sudden, not that long ago, saw it at where the attribution was, and I just love it. It's so beautiful.
This was a master bedroom?
It's sort of the sitting room area in a master bedroom. Mm-hmm. In an apartment that was in the museum tower, the large apartment building next to the Museum of Modern Art. And so it's in an extremely modern space with floor-to-ceiling windows and fabulous views up very high. And yet you could also imagine this in, you know, a lovely, more traditional or classic house in the country. I thought it was really dreamy, and in truth, I almost, this was my other choice for the cover of the book. Mm. And I didn't go with it because it, to me, it seemed a little too close to So Chic, our last book, and which was all about sort of just beautiful interiors, but sort of reconfigured stories. And this book, I really wanted to be about decorating ideas. And so I wanted it to have a statement that it was very different from the last book that we did. You know, that it's grouped thematically room by room, that, you know, if you're decorating or renovating or just interested in design, that there are a lot of ideas in many different styles. And I didn't think that this picture reflected that. I thought it was beautiful and really an arresting photograph. But it also seemed slightly frosty to me, and I wanted this book to be very, very user-friendly. Like, I want your copy to be beat up, you know, and this almost seemed too pure or too beautiful for that. Does that make sense?
Yes, because it is a very cool image. I mean, the colors are so cool. I understand what you mean by frosty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
And, you know, there's so many design books out there, and some of them I don't understand, the people who can just, like, knock them out year after year. And, you know, I want, if we're going to do a book, I want there to be a real reason behind the book. So the reason behind this book was 20 years of Elle Decor, you know, the best of Elle Decor. But especially for this, for what we're going through with this challenging economy right now, I wanted it to be about ideas, not just about, you know, fantasy. Mm-hmm. And sort of behind the velvet rope types of rooms. You know, there's always time for that kind of book, and God knows we have enough of those pictures. But I really wanted this to be something that people could use and that they could go to for ideas.
Well, I think it is. I was surprised when I opened it to see how it was organized, and I thought, wow, I really like this, you know, because that's exactly how it is. You can go just pick up what you need on any particular project.
It's true. Ever since I've had this in my hands, I've just done exactly that, Margaret. I've been going through it over and over, looking at things that, you know, I hadn't seen before, whether it's, you know, a kitchen with black lacquered cabinetry with, you know, a pinky wall coloring. It's incredible. I feel like you can look through here and find something different all the time. And it is inspiring.
Oh, well, good. Thank you. Because we worked on it, you know, till 2 o'clock in the morning for like 3 months. So, you know, it's not easy to do a book at the same time you're doing a magazine. And, but I'm really proud of my staff and just a few of us worked on it together. And I think they did a terrific job. Mm-hmm.
Going back to the picture just quickly, what I love about it is how he has the white trim on the, you know, this chairs, and then he has it on the pillows. But then he uses empty frames that are repeating the
banding
on the wall on each side. I think that's
Are they empty? I couldn't tell if they were empty.
Yeah, they're empty.
Yeah,
It's just the frame. They're just beautiful white frames arranged on the wall.
It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Gorgeous. Now, what I wanted to ask you is on page 174, the bedroom by
Alice Papadopoulos.
I love this bedroom.
I know. I think this is my new favorite.
Yeah. And
really?
It's gorgeous.
God, gorgeous. But for a while, I was getting these two images mixed up in my mind. And I was thinking that this was the Vincent Wolfe bedroom. And then I saw the Vincent Wolfe. They're very similar. Do you think he was influenced by Vincent Wolfe? Or?
Oh, gosh. If I said yes, Alex would murder me.
Really? Oh, God. Really? I don't mean that.
I think that there are elements to this room that I do associate with Vincent. The gilded frames and the sort of dreamy color palette and all of the fabric at the windows. It's very romantic, very feminine, really elegant. For all I know, for Zena Keen, who lives here, you know, she came up with the idea. I think that it's sort of in the feeling of some of the things that Vincent has done, but Alex has also done. This entire apartment sort of is in this color palette, and so it's very much, you know, it suits the rest, the other rooms in the place. Mm-hmm. But I love this bedroom. I just thought it was a really dramatic picture.
Oh, yeah.
And
gorgeous.
It's a good idea. Like, don't you just want to get in that bed?
Yes.
That's cute.
And those mirrors, the way they're hanging on the chain.
Yeah, with the strong tilt.
How big is that room?
I don't think it's a very large room. I wasn't at this apartment, but I, from the angle, from the way the photographer shot it, I think it was a relatively, you know, it's not a very generous space.
Right.
Even the, you know, the stools are sort of just jutted upright at the end of the bed. And the windows are absolutely, you know, dressed in the yards and yards of that fabric.
There's so many, though. I mean, you start looking through the bedrooms and they're just one after another is gorgeous. Just gorgeous.
That painter, Anne Dong, is how do you pronounce her last name?
Anne Dong?
I've seen it. Yes.
Yes.
And you have a picture of her. You have a picture of her sitting in her bathroom, and I've seen her space photographed all the time. I mean, that is another one that...
What, Megan, what page?
Oh, gosh, I said that without even having the page ready.
204.
Was it her? It looks like an old factory, her actual...
It's a space that she sometimes lives in and uses it for painting. And
right.
I loved it just because it was so quirky and so, you know,
so
really, really bohemian, yeah. But she has such a distinctive style, and she's the perfect Elle Decor person. You know, she's she's really at ease in her skin, and she lives in an incredibly stylish manner. Very, nothing formulaic about it. Lots of sort of oddball furniture, a really big space, but it's also sort of a beat up space. You know, there's a lot of wear and tear going on in there.
Notice on the same page is the bathroom with the cabinet of natural curiosities.
Yeah.
But, I mean, such a popular picture.
That's Stephen Gambrell. I love that.
It's such a brilliant idea, and the bathroom was very small, and the lighting is not terrific, and, you know, we're shooting right into the toilet, which we try to not do, but it's funny because it was such an amazing room, and I do think it inspired many, many people, and I wish we had had a better picture of it, but that, you know, it was a difficult thing to shoot.
Yeah, but that's a classic. I mean, how does it make you feel to know that you have produced these images that, you know, are just become classics that people refer to time and time again. I can't imagine.
Well, I feel like we're the conduit. You know, it's really the designers and the homeowners and the stylish people who come up with these ideas. And, you know, I'm not a designer, I'm just an editor. And my job is to have a good eye to find the things that I think will move people or inspire people. So it's a lovely feeling for all of us, for Anita Sarsidi, for my art director, Florentino. You know, when something like this sort of has legs and takes off on its own. But that's Stephen Gambrell. He's an intensely creative, very bright guy. And that bathroom was a wonderful idea.
You know,
I'll also say the children's the section on children's rooms for anyone who's listening who has kids is really great too. It's it has everything from the completely fantastic rooms that you could only dream of having for your kids to ideas again that are doable, that really are inspiring and they're fun, and they're not just these cookie cutter rooms that are, you know, start getting predictable. I've looked at those a lot as well. So that's another great aspect of it. It's not just grown-up rooms. It's kids' rooms as well.
And they're not always easy to find. Oh, I'm sorry. I just meant that sometimes, you know, when we're shooting a house off and it's like, oh, God, don't go in my son's room. Or, you know, so it's so nice when there really is a room that we can shoot in that people can find ideas in it.
What I was going to say about the book that I think is so great is, like, you'll have a page of all dining rooms, but they'll all have a theme of red running through them, or the color. So they all kind of relate on one page. Or you'll have the page of the bedrooms where they'll have an iCat on the wall, and the other bedroom has a Suzani. So it's kind of the trendy thing. The book is just really put together.
It's art-directed. Yeah, you're art-directors.
Very, very well. Yeah.
Well, I will tell Florentino Pamantuan, because he really... You know, he was responsible for all the layouts, and we looked at all the images on the floor, you know, deciding which ones go with which. But he put it all together, and I think he's a genius. So thank you. I will let him know.
I wanted to know, Margaret, you know, with all the advertising, it's been such a tough market for magazines, for print, you know, and you all are doing better than anyone. And I'm wondering if you, what you attribute that to, besides, you know, obviously the magazine is so fantastic, but you know, what do you attribute to the fact that you all are the leading when it comes to ad sales?
You know, I think everybody's down, and we're down less. And I think that a lot of that is that we've been consistent in our point of view, and we haven't really veered from, you know, being a sister publication to Elle, so having this fashion heritage and being one of 25 Eldecors around the world. So there's an international perspective. And having the freedom to just show, you know, what we believe is really inspiring, you know, terrific design. We haven't sort of redone ourselves 80 different times. We're always just trying to tweak and refresh what we're doing so we continue to stay interesting to our readers. You know, I think that we're also, I work for a company that has always been very fiscally conservative. And so we're not having to totally reboot right now. You know, I've always been conscious of my business, and that even though I love what I do from a creative basis, I also am responsible for running a business. And I do take that very seriously. So we've been able to be consistent in the way that we're shooting. You know, budgets haven't been slashed. I can still invest in flowers and in travel and in good writers. And, you know, honestly, I don't know what the secret is, and I'm happy that we're doing relatively well in a difficult environment. But this has really been a disturbing situation over the past few years, because everybody was just doing so well, you know, 2007, 2008. And I'm not sure it's ever going to come back to that level. I think that we just need to be really creative in making sure that our magazines are brands that can exist on different platforms, you know, that we have a strong presence online, that we do books, you know, we've been involved in different TV things. I think it's being flexible and creative and really single-minded, you know, in our purpose.
Unfortunately, we don't have a huge amount of time to talk about this, but one of the things that always strikes me, Margaret, about you is, you know, in addition to putting out a regular magazine and beautiful books, is all of the other stuff you do, the events and the Women in Design and the philanthropic. We met at the Dining by Design event in Boston that you were very involved with a couple of years ago, and now you're working with a couple of organizations we just wanted to highlight, which was the Alpha Workshops and God's Love We Deliver. And so maybe you could say a few words about your relationship with those organizations.
You know, I worked with DIFA for 10 years, and that was such a marvelous experience, and especially creating those Dining by Design events, because I got to meet so many interesting people around the country. But after 10 years, I realized that I was literally spending a month traveling, you know, setting up, doing the events, doing the extra stuff around it. And once the opportunities came up, both for Top Design and for the book projects, I realized that I couldn't do a magazine and do all of that, and that maybe 10 years had been enough for it. And I became involved with the Alpha Workshops, which is a wonderful group of people in New York, a decorative arts training facility for people who have HIV/AIDS. And then God's Love We Deliver is this marvelous charity that started by delivering food to people who were ill, who had AIDS, who couldn't take care of themselves. And now they feed so many people in need. I mean, really anybody who is unable to cook for themselves because of an illness, any illness. And I love it because it's so well run. And, you know, you write a check and someone in need gets fed. And, you know, there's not a lot of red tape. It's run in a very businesslike manner. And I just have enormous respect for the people there. So that's been a terrific thing. And to be honest, I don't have to travel a month out of the year, you know, to do it. I've also become more interested in, I wrote about it in my column that's coming out in December, about arts education for children as well, because I realized that I'm very fortunate to have grown up with parents who supported, you know, I took fine art classes and, you know, I was really encouraged to be creative. And the school programs that are the first to get cut are often arts education. And I just learned about this wonderful program in Los Angeles called Inner City Arts, where they team professional artists with local public school students to mentor them. And I think it's terrific. So that's been one of my latest things as well, that I'm trying to, you know, learn about more programs all over the country and then perhaps put something online about them, you know, really just to educate people more about what is out there and what we can do, you know, to help children.
Well, I think that you really are a leader in this industry as far as doing good. You know, you're always out there and raising a lot of awareness for these different organizations. And I think that's really to be saluted.
Well, thank you. It's, you know, it's a terrific opportunity heading up a magazine to be able to write about different programs or, you know, hold events that can benefit. You know, the proceeds will go to something. When we did the opening with the Restoration Hardware people for their store downtown, they made a donation to God's Love because we were doing it. And that's, you know, that's just a terrific collaboration.
Well, Margaret, thank you so much for joining us. I think we could go on forever, but I guess we can't. So we're going to have to wrap it up. But we really appreciate you taking the time, and I know our listeners are going to be fascinated. We covered a lot of ground and a lot of really interesting topics.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, thank you. And it's such a pleasure to speak with all three of you, you know, to have the opportunity to do so in 1 hour. I'm inspired by what you do online, and you should know that you have such a following. And I think it's such an interesting relationship between magazines and design blogs. But I'm continually inspired by what I read and what you do. And I think that you are all in your own way, you know, really extraordinary editors. So I thank you for that.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Cote de Texas, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. This week we welcomed Margaret Russell, Editor-in-Chief of Elle Decor. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com or download our podcasts from iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back soon.